Happy Sabbath, everyone. How are you guys doing? Some of you are students and have a little break here, huh? And some of the people are working, you don't have much break. So don't try to say, oh, I want to finish school quickly so I don't have to go to school. When you're going to work, you don't have 2 week vacation, you know. But you have no homework. But you know what I'm thinking about the end of the year? What have we tried to finish? Is there something that you really want to do and you have not able to check off your list? If you're like me, I have a lot of things on my list, more than I can handle. But I need to be aware of myself that what I could do and what I could not do. Because sometimes the list is too long, you stress yourself out more than you make yourself have fun with it, right? You have to enjoy your work, enjoy your life. And that's what brings me to this new year. Begin the new year, what are we prepared to achieve? What God really want us to do? See, a lot of time in different school, different company, we set goal, a profit goal, a project or that. And we lean ourselves toward those careers. But we forgot that God calling us something different. Before with that, I want to share with you the story that I read somewhere is one New Year day. And you know, New Year, they have a Rose Parade in Pasadena. How many people attend the Rose Parade? Yeah? I don't want to watch Rose Parade? You want to watch TV and then live? Anyway, I went one time. You have to wake up early and fight the traffic. Anyway, but one particular time, the Rose Parade is so beautiful, it suddenly come to a halt. And they find out there's a truck that run out of gas and cannot move, stop everyone. And so they bring some gasoline over and pour the truck, and the truck will move. So funny that that truck, that float, is belong to a Standard Oil Company who have all the oil resources, and they have truck don't have enough gas. And it's likewise in our Christian experience, we serve omnipotent God, and we lack resources. We're weak, we feel like we've fallen apart and unable to accomplish things because we not connect with all powerful resource that we have. Now, very easy to say than done, but God have reproved so many times and shows so many people if we miss that connection, we lose everything. Instead of focus, how can be a good grade, how achieve a better career, a higher salary. We want to achieve all that, but at very end, you're missing something. How many movie stars, how many musician, pop rock, they can tell you, you know what, I feel lonely. I got everything I need, but something's empty in my heart. But the world's still running after. And so I want to show you something. I want you and I have a fulfilled life. Exactly what God created us. Turn with me in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And we will try to point out 5 different areas that God calling us to do and fulfill this. Okay? But first, we have to do this. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 33 says this. I read from the New King James Version. Say, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God say, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness. Seek first Jesus, His power. And all these things shall be added to you. Everything you wish. Have a good grade. Graduate with a high degree. Have salary. If we seek God first, everything we want, God will give. According to Solomon, same thing. He seek wisdom from God, and God give him everything else. And so how are we going to have a life, fulfilling life? Not just set goal in our career. 4 or 5 different relationship or connection that I want you to pawn upon. Number one, first of all, we need to connect with God. Seek first the kingdom of God. So we have to connect with God. We connect to the source of power. We need to connect to find out what is right and wrong, what our life will be. You know, if we don't connect, we just miss. Hopefully we do the right thing, but we miss because we have no God direction in that. And over time, we waste a lot of time in our life. Okay, a simple story. Have ever you guys lose something or a change or a key or anything? Sometimes you lose a long time and say, "Man, I got to trace back where I left that thing." Somebody lost my glasses and I kept looking for the glasses. I don't have glasses to look for anyway. So you lost something and you pray about it, you find it right away. I said, you know what? I wish I pray first before I look for things so I don't wait for days, right? Same thing in your life. Sometimes you want to do something, you want to ask God to help you, but that is not His direction for you. Okay? Especially relationship. You try and try and try, and you waste a lot of time, a lot of energy, and you feel discouraged. But hear about this. Now, how are we connect with God? I'll give you a few Bible texts here. 2 Timothy, and the Bible mentioned very clearly, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, easy, 3:16, right? 3:16. The Bible says that, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So God gives the Bible, the Scripture to you for a purpose. Okay? And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So four different areas. You know, God gives you know how to do it right, how to change, make it right, correction and instruction, how to live a right life. And so God gives you direction. Now, let me ask you, during the time of before Moses, right? Moses written the Pentateuch, right? The first five books of the Bible and the book of Job. Before Moses' time, do they have a Bible to read? No. Do they need the Bible to read? No. They have connection with God. They have communication connection with God. So when you have connection, you don't need a letter to tell you what to do. I remember my wife before she left for work early in the morning, and the boy wake up quite late, and my mom have to write, you know, son, when you wake up, this is what you need to do. Cook your breakfast, clean this, and do this. By the time you get home, oh, this is finished. You know what? Because she's not there, because she have no communication with the son, and so she have to write down. So if we don't have connection with God, God have to write down this Bible to you and I. So it's profitable for us to read. When we pray, God want to talk with us through the Word of God. Because we couldn't listen. We couldn't understand. We don't know what His wish. And so the Bible helps us to understand that. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. In the book of Joshua, very interesting. Before Joshua take the group of people to the promised land. And he say this very word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. And say this. This book of the law. That's been testimony of the Bible, just say the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it for day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. And so, this Word of God that we need to meditate day and night. We need to read. We need to think about it. We need to ponder. We have to memorize. You know, back time during the Israelite time, I don't know how the home is like, but I can imagine write the Word of God on their wall. Okay? And so can you imagine in the 21st century, you walk down the house of the Jews or whatever it is, you see the Word of God. Maybe home today you walk in, you have a picture frame of somewhere it's taken, a picture of yourself, a picture of your wedding, a picture of a family. But we don't see many Word right in the wall. We need to see the Word of God day and night as we go in and go out. Okay? And so the Word of God is so important. And so how are we connect with God? How can we listen to God talking to us? We need to read the Word of God. But we need to make commitment. Every single item I'm going to share with you, five different connection here. But each one we have to make commitment. Besides connect with God, we want to talk with God. Right? Just like you want to build a relationship, you don't want to listen, you know, one directional. You want bi-directional. You want to listen and you want to talk. You need to pray. Pray is important to you. It's very important. Five reasons we need to pray. Number one, we love God. That's why we pray. Number two, we depend on Him. That's why we pray. We pray to God because we can get out of danger. Right? God, please save me. Help me. Number four, we pray to God because He gives salvation to us. He rescues us. And number five, we are with us because we can hear direction from Him. Okay? And so prayer is very important. One Bible text I want to share with you about prayer. Psalm 145, verse 18. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him. Do you want the Lord to be close to you? Yes. Peter, about to drown. God, save me. When he called upon the Lord is right there. Matter of fact, when you call on the Lord anxiously to be there with you. Don't be afraid to call upon the name of the Lord. You know, some people, some young people I talk with you, do you pray about to God that send you a right person? And if you find a right mate? Well, you know, that's kind of funny to ask God for that. Ask God to do well, not get sick, but ask God to send someone. But as I grow older, I need that because when I was young, I tried and I missed so many times. And I say, I got to pray to God to find the right person. You got to call upon God. God will bless you to send you a right person. So important. In our life, if we don't have connection with God, what happened? In the book of John chapter 5, John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5 is so important about this here. If we lose the connection, what happened? John 15, verse 5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. And so God is a vine, and we are the branch. We connected to the vine, okay? He who abides in me, I am in him. If we abide with God, God is in us, bear much fruit. For without me, you can do how much? Nothing. How many things you want to do? You want to do a lot of things. But God said, if you without God, you cannot do anything. Is that true? One time, you know, I have five bush of grapes in the side of my house. Those who visit my house, and the leaf is growing really quick. And I have to trim some off. It's really get out of hand. And I start trimming. And I accidentally trim the branch that have grapes. The next day, what happened to the grape? It's die. And so when we connect our good God, we will bear fruit. But if we disconnect, we bear nothing. Nothing. Nothing in life. And so God wants us to connect with Him because only Him can give fruit, give result, give success. I see so many people very successful in life, but their life is hopeless. They just feel miserable. They rather go party on the weekend. They want to do anything because they couldn't find anything to fulfill in their life. Do you think party will fulfill in your life? Stay late at night? I mean, I'm telling you, when I was young, when I disconnect from God, I thought if I go to nightclub, I see people, I make a lot of good friends. But you think that's a true friend? They say if you still have money, you still have honey, right? No money, no honey. I mean, I test it out, and it's true. It's terrible. But you know, when we try to find happiness, there's no way. If God not in the picture, there's no way you can find happiness. Doesn't matter how much money you have. No much how beautiful car that you have. Nothing. And so God wants us to connect. So how are we connect with God? We got to show two things. Bidirectional communication. Listen to God through His Word. And talk to God through prayer. Okay? That's a wonderful idea, Pastor Vin. But how can we do it? Well, you have the commitment now. New year, you're going to take time. You're going to write down the commitment. how can I have find time to read the Bible? Well, you're going to wake up in the morning. What is usually the time when you wake up? 5 o'clock? 6 o'clock? Make a commitment, 15 minutes, begin the day, read 3 chapters of the Bible. Matter of fact, this morning I shared the card, read through the whole Bible within 1 year. 3 to 4 chapters a day, 15 minutes, you can read through the Bible in a year. I want to commit that. And so there's a schedule, we're going to read it, do that. And so you have to set a time, 6 o'clock in the morning. And some of you maybe have a class, maybe 5 o'clock in the morning. Wake up 15 minutes before you go to do something. Turn off the phone. Don't look at your Facebook. Don't look at anything. Start read. And sometimes it may be boring after a while, but keep reading, and the Lord starts talking to you through His Word. And you will start to see some of the important thing in your life, direction in your life. Jump out of the Bible. Wow. Thank you, God. I need that text this morning. And you need to spend time in prayer. You commit your time. I spend in the private room my own the 15 minutes before I go to sleep. Just myself and with God. Okay? I know it's wonderful to have a family prayer, but there's a time we need to pray with God and ourselves. You know, if my son comes to see, say, Dad, can I have $10? I want to go buy a hamburger or something like that. And when he asks and he run off without waiting for me to give him the money, is that a good habit? No. Sometimes we pray like that. We pray and God have not answered. We have run off already. And we ask, why, God? I asked you so many times, you never give me. Well, I want to give you, but you run off. That's a lot of time we don't listen to our prayer and wait to hear God say, you know what? $10, I can give to you. You know, $10, maybe it's not good. You know, that's not healthy for you. Maybe buy something else. You know, you got to listen to God. You cannot pray and you run off. So, point number one, connection with God. If you want to have a successful life, you have to connect with God. I couldn't find any other reason. Second thing, you have to connect with yourself. You have to take care of yourself. You know, James White, he worked so hard that he died very young life, 60 years old. I mean, that's young. Okay? Maybe back then it's not that young, right? But 60 is quite young. He worked himself. He killed himself before. Actually, he getting old. He worked 5 days a week to chop wood. You know? And chop wood is hard work. I mean, I couldn't chop wood all day. And he sell those wood. Okay? And Friday night to Sunday night, he go out and preach. He go in the wagon. He go to different town. He preach Friday night, Sabbath morning, Sabbath afternoon, Saturday evening, Sunday morning, Sunday noon. Then he drive back. And he work the next day. Can you imagine? Because he on fire for the Lord. He worked so hard that he died so early. And his wife said, you know what? If he pay attention to his life, he can work much longer and have a better result. So sometimes we cut our life so short. We ruin our life through sickness and illness that we can bring benefit to other people and to the world around us. I heard one man that got a 3 PhD. And a few days he worked away, he died. And I said, what's a waste time? Waste all your life study and you're not contributing to the world. And so what I'm trying to say to you, a lot of time we work so hard that we don't see our health is important. We don't see our health important. Our health is very important. We cannot say that we work hard and that's I got to understand. No. If you turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9, 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What does the Bible say? The first phrase is saying this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm wrong. 1 Corinthians. First thing I was right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? We are the temple of God. Our body is so important. God created us and we try to destroy our body. We cannot do that. We have to take care of ourselves. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says this, you have to be careful because Paul says that I discipline my body and bring it to subjection. Let's say he followed God. He worked for God. He worked very hard for God. And he said that lest I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. You help everyone, and you not help yourself. Have you got a flight, and before the plane take off, and there's an announcement, you know, all the rule and policy, you know, if the plane just happened to go down, and they lose the compartment pressure or oxygen, and they say, you know, if the mask dropping, you have to wear on yourself before you help someone else. If you don't help yourself first, how can you help others? It's so important. So many leaders, so many powerful people, they losing their effectiveness because their health, their goal in their life, and they're careless. You know, the devil tried to persuade you, you know, let's work hard to show proof that you are a great Christian. Hard in your school and hard in your work, hard in the church. And when you break down, they say, you know, that's the God you serve. What you did is less effective to reach out to other people. Not only that, when you overwork, overstudy, I don't know what you mean by overstudy, okay? You know, temptation come and you not pay attention. A lot of people, you know, they just so hard and you don't have your best guard on. And temptation can be very simple. You know what? Work hard. You can do it good. Do it. Go ahead. And you know what? You work so hard, you deserve a party. You deserve a night of relax. And guess what? And the devil would lead you a different direction. What I'm telling you, when you overwork, your life is not balanced and you lose self-control. And so, how are we able to help ourselves? And we know very well within our denomination, 8 law of health. Sometimes people use 10 law of health, it doesn't matter. But there's 8 law of health. I always try to use that with people, a new start. You got to focus. Okay, let it right. Okay, if vegetarian is good, let it right. If we have to eat meat, let it clean meat. Okay, we can cut down. Of course, we cannot change overnight, but we can change it. Let it healthy food. Don't eat between meals. And do not eat heavy meal at dinner. Okay, when you put that down, you start to cut that down. Exercise. Do we have time to exercise? Do back in the old day, do they exercise? They work in the garden. And you know, garden is a hard work, man. It's really hard work. Not just sitting there and pick up the leaf or pick a tomato. No, you have to dig. You have to till the ground. You have to do a lot of work. And so with that work, you know, pretty good exercise. And so, my wife said, you know, why you go to the gym? You know, you're wasting time. Just go on the yard work. You exercise and you're able to produce fruit and vegetable, you know. And so, that's right. And so, use your hand and work and exercise. So, we have to commit to exercise 30 minutes to 45 minutes a day. And by the way, as walking is one of the best exercise. I know you're a marathon runner. It's good, but I read somewhere, say, do not exert yourself. Okay, if your body can handle so much, you shouldn't do much more. Because Tim can do a marathon, I can do it too. You know, but my body is not made for that, and I have to be careful. You hurt yourself if you exert too much. How about drinking water? You drink enough water? I know I don't drink enough water. And so I have to pace myself that I have this gallon of water, I fill up the morning, I have to finish that before I go to sleep. Okay, so you make commitment to do that. Matter of fact, I have my phone, and I put my phone, you know, every 2 hours, and the phone rings, say, time to drink water, time to drink water, time to drink water. You see? If you cannot control yourself, you have to make that in order to achieve that. You need sunlight. You need sunlight? A lot of people need sunlight so you get skin cancer. No! You think God created a sun to kill people? It doesn't make sense to me. I see people work in the yard, in the rice field for all day, okay? All their life, and they live to 100. Okay? And so, yes, maybe something about the atmosphere today, or some lotion maybe you put on, or some food you eat, that when the UV violet hit your skin, maybe they change the chemical bond. I don't know. But I do not believe that the sunlight is that bad for you. And so you need sunlight, even including the winter. You need to go out in the sun. You need to sin. A lot of people cover in Vietnam. You don't have Vietnam. They cover everything except the two eyes. They don't want any sun to hit the skin. Why? No. God created the sun. It's beautiful. And so instead of seeing all the vitamin D free, they're ready to purchase vitamin D. Right? For supplement. You know it's free. God give you free. So get some sunlight. Temperament. What is tea? Stop eating junk food. If you know that is junk food, stay away. I know it's good. I like it too, but you got to stay away from that because it's not healthy for you. Maybe you have to read the label. Okay, we have to learn the label, right? One class, we read the label, what is healthy for us and not. You know, sometimes I'm so hungry, I eat ramen noodle, but I have to throw all this back away. When I saw word MSG, I got to throw away. And people say, oh, it tastes good. No, it's not good. Okay, so what is not good? You cut it. What about fresh air? A stands for air. Fresh air is very important. You know, a lot of Vietnamese homes, in the winter time, they close all the window, right? Because they want to keep the heat in the house. If they open the door, window, and the cold air come in, they have to turn on the heater and cost them money on utility. And so it's not good to keep everything closed. Matter of fact, this is one man that when I first started in ministry in Indiana, I come to his home. He not only closed the window, but he got a plastic bag. He sealed the whole window. No cold air come in Michigan or Indiana, very cold. I said, what you doing? You block all the good air coming in. Good is very important. In the morning, open the window. Let the fresh air come in through. One window this side, other window this side. Air will bring all the fresh air in. And that become a habit of my home. I have to open the window early morning, and at night you can close. You got to get fresh air in the home because the heat burned up all the oxygen. And what do you breathe? You have nothing to breathe, you know? So oxygen is very important. Fresh air, exercise outdoor. Instead of exercise in the gym, run outdoor. And then you get a fresh air is so important. Sleep. How many hours of sleep do you need? A medical student, they say only 4 hours. I don't know that about that. You know, you need 7 to 8 hours sleep. I mean, your body need to rebuild. All your cells need to rebuild. I need at least 7 hours, okay? Other people maybe 5. But if I don't have 7 hours, by the noontime, I'm starting to feel drowsy, okay? So you set a time. Not any 7 hours. If you sleep at 5, you're at 10, sleep at 10, wake up at 5. Set the alarm and become normal. And suddenly, you have to wake up without the alarm anymore. The body will adjust. But if you go anytime you want, oh, today at 9, the next day midnight, another day 1, you know what? Your body don't know how to adjust anymore. You have to have a regular schedule. Just like eating too, right? Your stomach, you're ready. What time you get ready? They want food to digest. But if you eat off hour, guess what? Your body don't know how to adjust. Very important. And the last thing is trust in God. So those are 8 laws of health. If you write it down, make commitment to each item, and follow through. Follow through. It's hard at first, but if you continue to do it, you produce a wonderful health that you can be benefit to other people. I talk to church members, you know, if a member is not healthy, then the church is not healthy. I call, can you help the church? I need your help to come out mow the lawn. Oh, Pastor, I'm sick. I call the woman. Can you cook food for tomorrow? We have a wonderful potluck this Sabbath. Oh, no, I got a flu. Just imagine if people are sick left and right. What happened to the church? You see? So stay healthy that you can be productive. Don't you want to be productive? You know, sometimes I commit myself. You know, this year I don't get sick at all. I can keep myself no sick. Every year people say, oh, that's no more time. I get flu every year. No, why do you have to have a flu every year? Why do you have a cold every year? Is that true? Is that a medical student? Is that true? You have to have a... No, you don't have to. You can fight against it, you know. Somehow that the misconception that it's just become normal. No. So connection with God, connection with yourself, and connecting with others. Okay, what the Bible say, connect with others. Okay. The Bible says it's not good to live alone, right? So God created a mate for you. But 1 Timothy 5:8, the Bible says this, But if anyone does not provide his own, that means provide for other people, especially those with his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. In other words, if you have a family, you have to provide for the family. If you have a relationship with your spouse, you have to provide. You cannot live on your own. Today, people want to serve on your own. Today, people want to make money and they want to serve their own. It's not provide for other people. And that's why when I counsel with people get married, do not have two different checking accounts. Share everything together. Because once you are divided the asset, you start to see your own. You start to say, hey, I work, I save my own. You work, you use your own. No, we share everything. And we need to develop a relationship within our family and our spouse. Or we need to take care of each other. Okay? And so how are we connect with other people, or relationship? We need to set time. I need to set time. For example, my time is flexible to go to work, but I don't come home until late 7, 8 o'clock because I want to try traffic. But you know what? Doesn't mean that I don't have dinner together with family. You have to set a time. Okay, 7 o'clock, that's where dinner together. Okay, breakfast, we have to eat together. Or set time. Or vacation. Every Sunday we go hike together. If we don't have set time with your family, with relationship with someone, you cannot build relationship. Today, so many family breaking up because they don't set time to build the relationship. We need to set time to build that relationship because relationship is so important to help you out. And so you set that time. Family vacation. How about family worship? You guys ever have family worship? What does that mean? What's family worship? That means before everyone goes to sleep, we set time to read the Bible together and pray for each other and ask how you're doing today. It's so important to start early. Those who are newlywed, start to set up time. Because when you have children, you have set time. And if you're still single, find a friend, you pray on the phone, do that on a regular basis. Hey, you know what? Before we go to sleep, let's pray on the phone. How you guys doing today? You got to do that. Become a habit. That's how you build relationship. If you don't build relationship, you easily break up. So that's connection with other. Now, the next thing, connection with the church. Do you think church important? Why God create church? Did God create it or man create it? No answer? God created. God created the church for the blessing of the human race. Just like God created the temple for people coming every Sabbath to study and worship. Because just imagine if there's no church, what do people do? They don't care about the spiritual thing. They do their own thing. And guess what? Their spiritual life is going down. So church is very important that we come together. Okay? And here it is. Why they come together. Turn with me in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter. We come to church have two reasons. And 1 Peter will help us to identify the first one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift. So in other words, God gives you a gift. Everyone have a gift. Okay? Everyone have some talent. And God say, minister it to one another as good steward of the manifold grace of God. That means the gift that you got, God bless you, you share with other. So we come to church, we share. Okay? Either the finance or need prayer, need support. We need to help each other. Back in the book of Galatians, also share the same idea. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That means when the right time, when people lack of something, we need to help each other, especially in the church. Especially them from the same church, same faith. Let's say if you have a church back home in Vietnam or other country, if they need problem, we need to help them. And so the Bible says we need to have an enrich, need to support each other. You know, this world is very lonely. You know, especially when you work with a co-worker not so nice to you. You drive in the freeway, not don't be people nice to you. You need a church to come here. You know what? Thank you to be a friend with me. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for caring for me. You know, I see people sick, and when they have no church family, you know what? They died very lonely. I visit people in the hospice, and they have no friend. Their family is not really family. They don't care each other. And so I see people that have church, have no body of believer community to help them. And so when we have someone get sick, you know, the church member pray, go visit, take food to them. You know what? Wow. I don't know, people, you guys go to nursing home? You guys visit nursing home? I talk to people in nursing home saying, you know, thank you to visit me. Family visit me only once in a blue moon, you know, once a month. But you guys came every week. You see, people need love and care. And when I visit some different hospital, and some patient kind of feel envy that you brought the whole church come and sing and bring food for the family, and other patients have no one. And so I stop by other patients and pray for them too, you know. And so you need community. You need love and care, because one of these days, you know, there's up and down in our relationship, well, family, finance, we need friends, we need family within the church. But that's not enough for the church. Connect with the church is not just caring for each other. By the time we finish worship service, we go home? No. God said this in the book of Romans chapter 10 verse 14. Romans chapter 10 verse 14. God wants us to share the blessing to other people. They want to know. God wants us them to know about Christ as well. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If we don't go out witnessing, if we don't share glow, if we don't talk about Jesus, how will they know?" So part of the church that God built, that we need to bring this gospel out. The church is organized to be equipped and chained for witnessing. God only has one entity that He can work with to bring this gospel to the whole world. It's through the church. And if God put this church here in Almonte, that means God said, this church serves this community. If this church not serve the community, then who will serve? You know what I'm talking about? God placed a church in strategic location. Now, we have a wonderful corner right here in the main road, Peck. Everyone knows where Peck Road. God put this church here for a reason. And so if we don't share the great gospel, and who will? Especially with the Vietnamese church, though we can speak Vietnamese or other language. If you don't share with your own mother tongue, who will understand? So connection is very important. Now, okay, that's a good idea, Pastor Vin. So how can I connect with the church? Well, this is how you do. You need commitment to go to church every Sabbath. Everyone come here, it's kind of easy. But other people don't come here every Sabbath. Okay, so we need to write a commitment. Every Sabbath, I come to church. Any church? You know what I'm going to say? This church. My home church. I mean, I was fine to visit different churches. I'm sorry, little visitor. Thank you for coming to visit today. But I want to share a little talk with my member. But you have to visit your church, because that's how you build your church. You cannot visit all the church, you know, 52 weeks of the year, and you 53 churches you visit. How can you build your church if you don't concentrate on your home church? Home church is very important. Find the home church. that you're going to build upon. So commit church every week and commit to Bible study. Okay? A lot of people love to go to church, but they don't want to sit on Bible study. If you don't study, you cannot grow. Okay? And so Bibles are either Sabbath school or afternoon, anytime, set up some time. Bible study is so important to nurture our spiritual soul, but also commitment. Let's say, okay, Bible say now another commitment and to connect with the church, I need to involve in different ministry. Now, the church have many ministries, right? Youth ministry, young adult ministry, health ministry. We have after-school ministry, Vietnamese language school ministry. We have many ministry. Choose one ministry to involve in. If you don't involve in, then you feel, wow, this is boring. Everyone do something, and I'm sitting here by myself. Choose one ministry. Involve in. I'm not saying that you have to work day and night for ministry. Just involve in something. For example, Tim right now heading towards some of the health idea. And some of you like to do health. Connect with him so we do health program for the whole year. So involve in something that God called you. And another thing, committing to witnessing to your family. Do you have family member that have not known God yet? Yeah. Do you have friend? How about community? Witnessing is so important. Share with them the love of God that have changed your life. Share with them the blessing that you have. I receive so much blessing, if I don't share, that means I rob the blessing away from them. You know, I rob the blessing. I want to share with them so they would not lose a blessing. And so be witness, commitment once a week that I'm going to share the love of God to someone. Now, is that hard? I mean, think about it, so easy. Today, you have Facebook, you have Instagram, you have everything. You can text, you can call, you can leave a message, you can send something. So simple. You know what? I think about you and I pray for you. When people hear that, say, thank you. You know, I know you have a final coming up. I want to pray for you. You know, I've been thinking about it. I asked Jesus to come to your life. Always think of something. Commit once a week to write down, I'm going to share something with someone. And so we connect with the church. You have the commitment list. If you don't have commitment, nothing be done. Okay? So that is the fourth. The last one, and I know you spend most of your time. And the last one here, connect with your workplace, with your career. It's so important. Why do I need to do that? Do we need to bring God into the workplace? Yes. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 say, all hard work bring a profit, but mere talk lead only to poverty. So God wants us to work hard. Everything we work for God. And another text, I'm sorry, move a little quickly. Another text I want to share with Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And the Bible says this, whatever you do, do it heartily. Heartily, ask the Lord and not to men. That means if you do anything, do all your heart. Don't just come and work late and leave early. Come early and leave late. You know? Work extra mile. Help someone else. Do someone else a favor. You know, how can you improve in your career? A few things that you can do in your career. Some of you already have a career now. That you need to find something to read. You know, in your field. You want to improve. Now, just let those who's in school right now. You know, after school or your college life or whatever, your student life, study is not over. You continue read. Because read help you to improve. So I thought after I finished school, you know, I just work the church. I don't have to worry about read how many books a week or that. But, you know, I learned something so important. Reading every day to improve your mind and expand your thought and thinking. Edmund Richards Sr., who are co-founder of the Voice of Prophecy. And he walked back then in the 20s, 30s, that time, he walked to work, right? And back then, most of the people walked to work. And of course, you exercise, which is good, but he always carry a book with him when he walk to work. Now, I learned from him that when I go for a walk, I bring a book with me and read. Can you read and walk? You can do it. Maybe not run, right? You can read and walk. But you read slowly, and you can walk, and you can listen. And especially, my English pronunciation is not so good. So I listen to a book that read, I listen and I follow. And I learn the pronunciation, I read the material. So you can do a couple of things at the same time. And now when I go to the doctor's office, or go to take someone to somewhere and wavering, I always have a book in my pocket. Do not waste time. Use every minute. Every minute is important to read. So in your field, you got to continue reading. Continue education. Learn something more and more to improve your professional life. And set long-term and short-term goals. If you don't set goals, you never achieve it. Okay? Same thing with the church. If we don't set that we're going to build a mission center, are we going to build one? No. We set the goal and we get it done. Send them with a fellowship hall. Say, you know what? We're going to set a goal by the end of this year. We're going to have it done. We got to set goal, and we work toward that goal. And so God give us five P's: connection with God, yourself, with other, with the church, and with your work. And if our New Year's resolution, look at those five different facets that we put down the commitment. Don't just listen today, but write down the commitment. This is what I like to do. Okay, you write down and you start improving day after day. Then you have a well-rounded what God has called you. Don't just set only career goal and forget about church goal. Don't set about goal for the family and forget about witnessing. Don't set about church goal and forget about your family. Everything all together. God want us to bring all together well-rounded. You think we can do that in 2019? No? Yes, I will do it. I will do it. Let down commitment. Write down. Write down. Write down. And I need to commit myself to write down. And last year, I don't know about the church here, but last year I did not encourage or push to read the Bible through 1 year. But 2019, with the Vietnamese service, we got committed to read through the whole Bible in 1 year. And one of the motivation is to have a list of how many chapters you read on every day. But have a little Bible trivia every single Sabbath to help people stay on top of it. Right? And I see people really excited to learn the Word of God through that. And I hope the English service, likewise, do something that we can help to grow our church. If we committed our life to this, the church have no limit to growth. We can grow our church. We exist here to serve others. And I pray that the next year we have something in place that how can we share this beautiful good news with other people. I pray for you. Please continue to pray for the church that we continue to thrive together to serve the Lord. May God bless you.